Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Welcome to this edition of Cascade Connects. I'm your host, Rob Cashel, Conference Commissioner, joined today by Head Track and Field Coach at Eastern Oregon University, Ben Welch, and student athlete Christian Mendoza. Guys, thank you for joining the program.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Ben, starting out, first of all, you're in that beautiful, beautiful room there with the wood, and you guys have a brand new indoor facility that opened about a year ago. I know we're going to talk about primarily outdoor here, but tell me a little bit about that new facility.
Oh, it's been a tremendous asset. Having been to AD here, you understood what we were dealing with in the past, you know, with the snow and the wind and the rain and the cold and no place to jump. I mean, the distance runners like Christian, they're nuts. They always made it work. But a lot of the field events, it was a lot more challenging. And this is so much easier. But even with them, I'll send them out to warm up and say, when you get back, we'll decide whether we stay inside or go outside. And invariably during January and February, they'll come in and take their warm-ups off and we'll just stay inside for the workout. This made life so much easier in that respect. And then I love hosting indoor meets, to be honest. Indoor meets are just, they're a little simpler than outdoor meets, just fewer events and more concentrated. And they're just rowdier. It's just especially in a smaller building like this, you know, for an indoor facility, it's a little bit smaller than most, but that just creates more of an energy and kind of an excitement about it. So it's been a true blessing, that's for sure.
Well, that's great. I know I've been in the building a couple of different times, and it's not only a great facility for indoor, but as you mentioned, for your training outdoor during those winter months in LeGrand. Christian, you're a junior and a LeGrand native. Tell me the events that you do in outdoor.
So in outdoor, just primarily 1500 up. I mean, I'll come down every once in a while and run an 800, but more kind of 5K is really what I usually like. And then, I mean, we'll see, maybe next year we'll try 10K or things like that, but primarily 1500 and 5K.
And certainly you're training primarily outdoors, but it's probably nice to get inside when you have to and be able to train in that new facility.
Yeah. So just kind of going off what Ben said, we're all super appreciative of it. It's something that is like no other. There's nothing that's like that, just even around a 4-hour distance from us. So it's something that's really accessible and it's a great resource to have. So we really enjoy it.
Well, Ben, this is your 33rd year at Eastern Oregon University. I was looking at our record book. You're all over the record book in the Cascade Conference. You've got 7 men's team titles in track and field outdoor. Also, you were coach of the year 7 times. Last year, you won the track and field championship at your home track. And then in a couple of days, you are hosting the multis. Talk a little bit about last year and that victory. And you've had some really great teams over the years, but last year in particular, that was a great, great victory for you guys.
Yeah, everybody just really stepped up. I think they're excited to be at home. There are guys on the team that, you know, that's just what they expect to do, is step it up and really bring it at the conference meet. We're pretty fortunate that was our 3rd in a row on the men's side. Still haven't won one on the women's side. Been runner up a lot. On the women's side, but you know, they just brought a real determined attitude, and it definitely helped that we were at home, because it's just a good environment. We get very good support when we host that meet. There are a lot of alums that come back to either work or just to root us on. A lot of family members show up, a lot of campus members. We get great support from within the athletic department. Angie Weisenflu, our athletic director, and Malia Mills, her associate. They do a great job of getting the other teams to come and help with that, which makes it better for everybody, not just us. because it makes the meat flow a lot better. I know what that meat's like when you don't have a lot of help, and it's, you know, really appreciate it when we have this kind of support we've had the last four or five times that we've hosted that, because we didn't host it for a long time. We hosted it in 07, and then we didn't host again in, on campus until
that COVID.
Yeah, 2021.
Yeah, that COVID year, 2021.
Yeah, and we hosted in Hermiston a few times, which was great, but it's not quite the same as having it at home. So, and the weather cooperated. So, you know, in the Northwest, that's not always a given.
Yeah, you never know with the weather, and you're right. It was two fantastic days. And Christian, you're one of the returners from last year, and certainly you have a full slate of returners. But what's it like for you to compete not only in your hometown, but on now your home track and in front of your family and friends?
Oh, it was the best feeling in the world. You know, it's something that you want to do every single year. And the thing about it is we didn't really know the numbers we really had. I mean, TJ Davis was second in the deck the year before. He was a national champion in the in indoor. Like he's one of the best athletes in all of the NAIA. So we didn't really know the numbers we quite had. So we were a bit skeptical kind of going in. And then
especially with TJ being hurt. Yeah, last year,
being hurt all last year. And so we were a bit skeptical. And then it's like, well, so and so did great in their event. That's another point right there. So and it was just everybody just kind of did their part, and it just made the whole it was, the atmosphere was great. It's so fun having all the other student athletes helping out or doing different things too. And not a lot of people get the chance to pay much attention to track, so when we have even people just come and volunteer and help out, it's a great feeling. It's a great place to have it.
Yeah, Ben, you know that obviously it's one of my favorite events of the year. I just probably because the weather is generally nice and everyone's feeling excited about things. And the track and field kids really, they support each other. It's an individual sport in many respects from a standpoint of they're fighting against the clock or the height or whatever it is that their event is. We're going to be at Oregon Tech for the first time in 12 years. They redid their facility. Talk a little bit about heading down there. You're going to be at elevation, which doesn't affect you as much as maybe some of the other teams.
Yeah, we'll have to be strategic about it. You know, when we had a conference there in the early O's, and then, you know, the last time in 12, right? Yeah, because it was 12 years ago. You have to approach things a little differently. Quite often the longer stuff becomes a little more strategic. And how you do your entries, a lot of winning conference titles comes down to where you put your people, as much as, you know, obviously you have to have the personnel, but how you enter them and how strategic you are about that weighs into that pretty heavily. And then Tech, the altitude is, it's another component of that. With the, you know, the longer people in particular, you have to be cognizant of that, because 2 weeks later you have the national meet. Even though we're coming from just under 3,000 feet and going down there to just over 4, there still is a difference. So we have to be careful that we don't tear them up, but still maximize some things as well. So it's fascinating. It's kind of fun, you know, to have to move those chess pieces around. I can't play chess, but I can. Mm-hmm. I can do track. I can do conference meet entries pretty well.
Yeah, Christian, he's a master at moving those chess pieces around. I can tell you that for sure.
Good job. Yep.
Hey Ben, talk a little bit about, you mentioned it a little bit, 2 weeks later is nationals, and I know you and I over the years have talked about the real science behind kind of the buildup, peaking on a particular day, and then coming down and recovery, and then getting ready again. So can you talk a little bit about your philosophy in that?
Yeah, with our national level athletes, you know, we train for nationals, but we also try to have them kind of at the beginning of that peak cycle going into conference meet so they can compete at a high level. But we also, when you have somebody that's a very versatile athlete, you take a look at the depth of fields and what kind of shape they're in physically and mentally. Because if you have a very good, he mentioned TJ Davis earlier, if you have a very good multi-event athlete like that, that is completely healthy, it's different than if they're dinged up and what you, you how you approach it. And that's another part of the fun part of coaching this is, and then your non-conference athletes, you try to have them, or your non-national athletes, your conference the athletes who will be done at conference, you try to have them on a sharper edge. And that gets a little complicated too, because you have to make sure you don't back your national people off too much, or your conference people off too little. And there again, when we go down to altitude, you just have to put that in there as a little extra fatigue factor. So usually when we go down there, we'll be just a little bit sharper, just so they go in at a little bit fresher, so they don't come out of it as beat up.
And Christian, tell me a little bit about what you're anticipating running in at conference, and have you already hit an A, B, or a conference mark yet?
Yeah, so I've actually been hurt pretty much ever since cross country nationals. So I've just been trying to come back kind of this whole entire time. So right now, just kind of taking it slowly, and hopefully by these next couple of weeks, really go after just the standard, go after going to nationals and everything like that. But also just being pretty smart, knowing that I want to kind of put in everything into this next upcoming season or upcoming block. So just being smart, and Ben's been a great supporter of that whole entire thing. And I come in here, seems like every single day, and we talk about something. And so
it's part of the reason he's here right now. Yeah, it's, I know he's going to be around reliably.
Yeah. And so, and that, but that's the great thing. Ben's had such a good impact on me, is not just as a coach, but as a friend. Ben, I can talk, I don't have to talk to Ben about running. We've gained this relationship where you can talk about anything, and something I really do appreciate.
He lost his shoe at nationals about, well,
yeah,
came partially loose about a quarter mile in, and came off about
a mile and a half.
Yeah, later. And so just kind of threw everything off and racked one of his feet up.
Yeah.
And so we've been trying to bring him back real carefully. Last year, he was a national qualifier in the 5K outdoor. What all indoor?
Indoor, just the DMR was a little bit off the mile, but
So, and he's been close in the 3000 in indoor and the mile indoor. So, pretty versatile, long, middle distance, short, long distance guy, however you want to phrase that.
Yeah.
But,
But now I'm just kind of getting to the point where, of course, I love racing, I love running, I love doing all these things, but it's the connections that I'm making and the people that I get to be around. And Ben's been, like I've said, very impactful, and I want to be a coach someday too. So it's been great to just get anything that I can get out of him. So
it's kind of fun to have some pretty far ranging conversations about that, especially since he wants to teach and coach. So,
well, knowing that education is in your family, with your dad, actually at nationals, talking to him right after, he said you lost your shoe, and I don't know if you found it or not.
You were able
to recover it.
Yeah, I was pretty upset right after it, after the race and everything, and I just trotted back down there and grabbed it, and I was definitely upset, but was more kind of in shock that happened. I actually 2 years prior to that, we raced at Fort Vancouver, and Hunter Nichols actually lost his shoe. And so the night before that, I'm like, Hunter, like, how in the world could you possibly lose your shoe? What are the odds that you lose your shoe in a race? Like, honest, like, almost making fun of him. And then a quarter mile into the race, I comes out and I see Winston Telford right next to me, and I'm like, Winston, I just lost my shoe. Like, my shoe's about to fall off. But I just thought,
karma, probably was.
I told him things happen for a reason. We'll make him a better coach someday.
My dad also had a lot of really good things to kind of say about that, of understanding if I can do that, if I can go through those kind of things after realizing how good of a season I was planning on having and everything like that, then I can face a lot of adversity moving forward too. So that even through this, of course, I love racing. I want to race and I want to be at my top level and everything. But it's good to face this adversity. It'll help me not just as the runner I am, but the person I am as well.
You were runner-up conference in the five behind Justin.
Yeah. I was second last year in the 5K at conference, and then fifth in the 1500.
We hope that your recovery is going well, and that you'll be ready to go for the conference meet. That'd be great. Hey Ben, transitioning a little bit to the multis that you guys are hosting in a couple of days here. Tell me a little bit about, I think we have about 20 athletes entered, 14 men, 9 women. Talk a little bit about who you have entered in the multis and what your expectation is.
On the men's side, we have Israel Miles. He was a national participant indoor this year and outdoor last year. TJ Davis is back. He, long story short, he had some injury problems over the summer after his tremendous year in 22 when he won indoor and was runner-up outdoor. Hurt back during the summer. So we redshirted him last year. Brought him back, was looking great indoor, getting on a bigger pole that fought back and kind of messed up his shoulder. So we're heading into this pretty cautiously the next few days. But he's fit. I mean, he's big and he's strong and he's fast. Hopefully those two can put up some national qualifying marks, and they want to score some points towards the overall conference meet. On the ladies' side, we have 4 of the 14. I think UBC and ourselves both have 4. Lizzie Grandel was All-American outdoor in the HEP as well as the javelin, and she's kind of leading our group. Then Carly Bedard was a national qualifier indoor this year. And then Sammy Connolly has been knocking on that door. And then we have a familiar name to conference volleyball fans in Adrian Washington. Tried her first one a few weeks ago and did really pretty well. So she's done with volleyball now. So she's kind of able to dedicate a little bit more time. And she's coming around very, very well. So it's a pretty good crew. And it's fun having 4 of them in there. We are redshirting on the men's side. Judson Mansfield will be back next year as a graduate student. He was a national qualifier last year as well. So two good guys in there and quite a very nice crew on the ladies' side. And hopefully they can all be over 4,000 points, if not over 4,200, and just have some fun.
Yeah, it'll be a great 2 days there in Le Grand at your track. Ben, over the years, obviously you and I have been involved in the league for 20 plus years, and we've seen the impact of the growth in our league in track and field, and it is a strong conference. Can you speak a little bit to kind of what you've seen as that transition in strength? LC State brings a ton to the table. UBC, Southern Oregon is always strong. Multnomah in the sprints. Just talk about the transition you've seen.
Yeah, you know, when we first started doing the conference, even in the 90s, there were only about 4 teams. And then with the exodus of some of the schools, Division III and Division II, there in the early 2000s, it was OIT brought their program back along in there. So that started helping build the numbers up. And then Southern had always been pretty strong, but they got a little deeper and more broad-based. We went from being a little distance heavy and a few events heavy to having more of a broad base. And part of that was just because the nature of the conference changed and it got more fun. And then there's some strong programs that have kind of come and gone, you know, Concordia coming and going. They did a lot to help elevate the conference, to be honest, because they brought so many resources in both staffing and scholarshiping and stuff like that. It just kind of helped elevate the game in the conference. Long in there, College Idaho, you know, brought their program back after, 20 some years, 30 years, something like that. I don't remember when they had a program, but Pat McCurry, one of my former athletes and assistants, started that program back up, and was that 04 or so?
So I think so. Yeah, early 2000s.
And so that really helped elevate some things. And you say then adding Multnomah, adding track, and with LC State coming into the conference, Mike always has a lot of good people. And then, of course, BC. I finally get by everybody in the traditional conference, and BC's women show up.
Christian, what's it like for you when you come in particular to a large meet like our conference meet, and you know that, you know, really the best of the best are going to be there?
Yeah, no. So it's always one of those things now where it's like you have to be on your A game. I mean, you want to be on your A game no matter what, with every single meet, but especially this one, it's meaningful. If I flip this camera right now, you would see all of Ben's, you would see Ben's conference titles and everything like that too. So especially the one, our cross country one too, right here. It's like we know that we want to make this the best possible opportunity as we can be, and so. But it is one of those things where we do know we need to be on our A game at all time. And every point does matter. It doesn't matter if that's eight or first. It's realizing that every point does matter. So,
well, and you know, some of it is that the conference has got good enough. It makes it more fun. And it also, it's a good incentive for people to train in the off season. Because there's no coasting. There's not a single event in this conference that you can coast through and win something. Some are deeper and tougher than others, but every event in the conference has quality people in it. And, you know, we used to be able to kind of look around and scratch together a 4x1 and put them in there, and they could get, you know, second, third, or fourth or something like that. You don't do that anymore. So if you want to be in those top, you know, 2 to 4, you better bring a team that's capable of hitting the national qualifying mark, whether it's an A or a B on any given day. There's been years where we've had people qualify for nationals and not score. We had one young lady back in 2010, it was like 12th of conference, and had an A qualifier in the javelin. I mean, it's just... there's times in the events that are just absolutely bonkers. And some of the teams that you mentioned, you know, with BC and LC State coming in here, added to that depth. And with the C of I folks doing as good a job as they've done down through the year. And now you have Multnomah sprinters. I mean, it really just makes it a lot of fun. It makes that come.
And Christian, you talk about, you know, the titles. I'm assuming you're looking at the trophies and the different awards that Ben has there, representing your team awards. Tell me a little bit about how you guys as athletes try to stay motivated. I'm sure the coaches try to motivate you, but what do you guys do as a team when you look at those awards and say, hey, we don't want to give that up. We want to stay on top of that mountain.
Yeah, I would say the one of the biggest things about track runners or sprinters, jumpers, or just cross-country people, long distance people, we're very intrinsically motivated. A lot of it comes from within. So that's why we train all off-season. We do everything we possibly can, especially the sprinters and everybody that aren't doing something in the fall. But they're always training and everything because they're thinking about indoor and they're thinking about outdoor. These guys do a great job, of course, like you said, motivating us, but it's the thought that this upcoming May or things like that are really, really impactful. And the conference title is really impactful to us. We don't want to give it up. We want to win it every single year. Every time we have the opportunity to, we want to win it. So we stay really intrinsically motivated.
Well, guys, I really want to thank you for taking time today. Christian Mendoza, distance runner for Eastern Oregon, Ben Welch, longtime track and field head coach and cross-country head coach. Really appreciate your time today. Good luck hosting the multis, and excited to see you all at Oregon Tech in a few weeks.
Good. Yeah, great. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Cashel.
Welcome to this edition of Cascade Connects. I'm your host, Commissioner Rob Cashel, and excited to be joined today by head track and field coach Laurier Primo from British Columbia and standout student athlete Sonia Urbanovich. Good deal. Well, thank you guys for joining the program. We're excited to talk to you about track and field.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I think this might be your first international podcast.
It could very well be. I'm excited about that. I hope I'm not breaking any FCC rules.
I think we're okay.
Well, Laurier, first of all, congratulations on another successful year last year. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll jump into this year. Conference champions last year, and also national champions, which is a great feather in your guys' cap for British Columbia. Talk a little bit about last year and just kind of that run up to the conference meet and then nationals and the success that you had.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I think that we continue to really create our team around our endurance squad. And that's always been a really good strength of ours. But until I arrived on campus, I didn't see us distributing some of the efforts in other event areas. And I've really tried to explore that without taking anything away from our excellent endurance athletes. So, I think whenever you're going after a national title, it's really hard to do it when you're focusing on a single event area. And if you look back at our points last year, we had sprinters in the final. We had a national champion in Sonia in the pole vault. We had a silver medal in the heptathlon. We've also traditionally had some pretty good points in the throws. So we've really tried to round it out. And I think that that's a real strength of ours is that, yes, we have this excellent middle distance and endurance program, and we will continue to emphasize that. But we have a coaching staff that's capable of contributing in many other areas. And I guess I've neglected to speak about our race walkers, which have been a cornerstone nationally and even representing us internationally, and have continued to help round out both women's and men's programs.
Yeah, you mentioned the diversity in points that you guys have collected, not only at conference, but nationally as well. And I was going to mention the race walk, which we bring now into our conference championship as a qualifier for nationals for your group. Normally, they're already qualified and have hit the marks, but that's a unique event to the NAIA, certainly. And has been in the NAIA for a number of years, but talk a little bit about the history of the race walk with your program.
Yeah, so it predates me for sure, and extends to when UBC left U Sport, which is the Canadian Track and Field Association for universities, because in Canada, all of the schools only compete indoor. There is no outdoor track and field opportunity. And we always felt that we should try to achieve outdoor excellence. And with our proximity to Washington and Oregon and many of the schools in the Cascade Conference, it just made sense for us to want to travel south rather than east over the Rockies for competitions. And so this opened the door to outdoor events, and specifically one that's not available anywhere else, whether it's NCAA, JUCO, or even in Canada, is the race walk. And while it is not extensively competed in, I guess, in contested in North America, it is extremely popular in Europe. And so we in Canada maybe see it differently and in the US, but it is considered part of the regular fixture in many other parts of the world. And, we're proud to have been able to exploit that and have had some walkers on the international stage. As you know, Evan Dunphy winning a medal at the Olympics. Prior to that, Ben Thorne won a medal at the World Championships. So these are athletes who aren't just good in the Cascade Conference, aren't just good in the NAIA, but are good globally. And it really is something that we're proud of.
Yeah, it's a great event to watch. Like you said, we don't get to see it a whole lot down south here in the States, but when we get to have it at the conference meet, it sure is fun to watch. Sonia, turning to you a little bit, conference champion, national champion in the pole vault. Can you tell me a little bit, how did you get into that event? And how did you find your way to BC for your college experience?
Well, I honestly it was just offered at my home club, which is down on Vancouver Island, so like 2 hour ferry ride from here. So I've always been in BC, but it was offered at my club, and I was a sprinter and a thrower previously. Like I was a hammer thrower as a JD, and I threw javelin. I did the 100 and 200, and then I wasn't like that great at those events. I was like pretty just, mediocre, and I was like, oh, pole vault looks fun. We don't have many pole vaulters on the team. So took that up and progressed pretty well. So I, yeah, made it here, and I wanted to stay in province. I wasn't very ready to like fully leave home yet. And UBC, just the year previous to me coming, it was their first year getting a pole vault program again. And the coach, Christina, I have known her for many years. I've always competed against her athletes, and it was nice knowing that I would have a coach that I'm comfortable with, and I've seen like her successes, and I've competed against them. Yeah, and it was pretty cool winning nationals and conference as a freshman. I wasn't having the best season, I would say, for myself compared to the year before. And I think all the university experience kind of was it really helped me improve. And I didn't PB last year, but I was impressed with my progression, I would say, throughout the year, and paid off.
So tell me a little bit about, what was the easiest thing about pole vault that came to you, and is there something about the event that didn't come as easily to you?
I'd say it's not very easy. I was most pole vaults were pole vaulters or gymnasts before they pole vault, and I don't have any gymnastics background. So I have the speed background. So like I have half of the equation. I just need to figure out the in the air part, which I'm still obviously working through. But yeah, I think the easiest part to me was just I really it was very ex it's very exciting, and I like the adrenaline of the event, and sometimes it does get pretty scary, but we work through that, and we've been working through that. So,
Yeah, I could imagine when you're upside down, 10 to 15 feet in the air, that can sometimes not quite sure where you're at, right? With your spatial kind of understanding of where you're at.
yeah, exactly. Like my coach will ask me, like, oh, how did that jump feel? And I'm like, I don't remember a single thing.
Laurie, obviously we've got multis coming up this week. You've got entries in the multis that'll be down at Eastern Oregon, and then in just a few weeks we'll be gearing up for the conference championship, which you guys are the defending champion on the women's side. Tell me a little bit about how you prepare your multi-eventers for this week, and then turning around and getting everybody ready for conference.
Yeah, you're right, Rob, about how quickly this goes. It is a fast, short season with meets almost every weekend, but that doesn't mean that every athlete competes every weekend. And I think that's critical to how we prepare our decathletes and heptathletes, and similarly how we prepare our individual athletes for the conference championship in a few weeks. And that is that we need to create a sensible schedule for each individual athlete. And that's really been something that we've emphasized even on recruiting, that our training programs are individualized based on an individual strengths and weaknesses. So they don't all do the exact same training program. We really try to identify commonalities that everyone can do, and then specifics that are unique to each athlete. So today will just be a light warm up for our heptathletes. But prior to this, they would be focusing on events that we feel that they can create the most point structure for them. And some can make real big gains in high jump. Others need to work a little bit on hurdles. And so they'd all be out there, and it wouldn't be like every heptathlete is doing the exact same event. Particularly in the weeks leading up to the multis, they're really emphasizing where we feel they can get the most points out of each event.
Yeah, you mentioned the quick turnaround, and I think one of the unique things about our league is we do separate out the multis, because in many instances the multi athletes can also score you points in the individual athlete events at conference.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So I love this, and I appreciate that it's fairly early, and you've probably seen the forecast for LeGrand. It's going to be great during the day, but it dips below freezing at night, which means those early events at 9, 10 o'clock are still it's still warming up. So that's the downside, but I think it's a good price to pay to be able to separate those out and give some of our successful heptathletes opportunities to participate in the conference championship, largely because they also get to get on the bus, be part of the larger team, and create culture that way. And that's a really important part of what we do, because running, jumping, and throwing, and power speed versus endurance, our practice schedules don't align very well for all of us to be in the same place at the same time. And so it's almost not until we get to track season like this where some of our athletes are really getting to know others who are in different event areas. And that's a really important piece as we, move from multis to the conference championship and then hopefully on to nationals.
Sonia, talk a little bit about your progression or your routine to peak when you're supposed to peak, right? You want to be at the right form at conference and nationals. Talk a little bit about you and your coach, your event coach, and how you work on kind of that cycle and being at your best when you need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I think my coach could probably speak a little better to this because she programs us, but we in the winter season, it's we don't have any indoor facilities, so we don't jump a whole lot. We focus mainly on speed training and gymnastics training, and we do higher loads, higher intensities. And then now that it's starting to warm up a bit, we're able to jump outside and get back to like our full approach run-ups. And I think it's our competitions are really important because we get, well, we're supposed to get nice weather. Haven't been the luckiest, but it gives us opportunities to jump some bars in warmer weather and get on bigger sticks and progress. And coming up to conference pretty soon, we'll probably start tapering. What, conference is a couple, 3 weeks?
Yeah, that first weekend in
First
May.
weekend of May, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have Western Washington next weekend, so or next weekend. Yeah, so we're preparing for that, and then we'll taper down a bit for conference, and then yeah, get big guns ready for nationals.
Laurier, you've obviously taken many athletes to nationals before. We've been down at Gulf Shores. We're back now at Indiana Wesleyan. I've not been to Indiana Wesleyan, but I've heard that it's just a great environment, almost like an Olympic Village environment. Can you talk a little bit about the experience you have at nationals at that facility?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So Gulf Shores was great because on the years that we got weather, it was picturesque, and we stayed in hotels that were right on the beach, and that's just a really neat opportunity for the student athlete experience. But what Indiana Wesleyan offers is this opportunity for athletes from different schools to get together during mealtime because they're all in one place and they're breaking bread together. And that's pretty neat. They can discover each other's commonalities and their differences. Yeah, so I think that what that offers, and proximity, actually, I will say from a coaching perspective, not having to design the shuttle service and how many times we're going back from the track to the hotel to pick up someone else and drop people off, just knowing that they can walk over to the facility, that's also been really helpful. So the containment of that has been really good. And the weather last year was fantastic too.
Yeah, I've heard great things about that. And I would suspect, Sonia, from an athlete perspective, the ability to go back to your room and rest or get out of the sun and not have to rely on, hey, I need a ride back to the hotel, or I've got to sit out under a tent is really probably a great environment for you to compete in.
Yeah, it was an excellent environment. And it was also really fun because we, all the teams, we had like our kind of dining hall. And it was nice because we were able to meet people from other teams, which is sometimes hard when you're just like at the track to compete. It's harder to get in there with other teams. But yeah, it was a great experience.
So Laurier, as the defending champions, you know, anytime you're on top, you got the mark on your back, and people want to knock you off from that stoop. But tell me a little bit about some of the things you do to keep your team motivated to stay on top and to continue to win championships.
Yeah. So first of all, I think that, you know, if you're looking at rankings, sometimes we look a little bit better than we are. And the reason for that is that many of our athletes will be demonstrating that they're highly ranked in an event that they are unlikely to do at nationals. So the same women who are good at the 1500 might also be good at the 5000 or the 800, but there's no way that they can do all three of those events at the national championships with rounds. And so even though we look like we're really well ranked because they score in all of those in the rankings, we know that that's not how the entries are going to play out at nationals. And so we definitely need to be on our game and be sharp, because the cushion is not what it appears. Absolutely not. Unlike, you know, I knew a few years ago, we actually lost to New Orleans. They won, we were second. They scored all of their points in the 100, the 200, the 400, the 100 hurdles, the 400 hurdles, and the two relays. And it was remarkable how these girls kept getting on the track again and again and again. And I think that, you know, being able to do that in the speed events, sprint events and hurdles events is one thing. But we could never expect that from our endurance core to be out there again and again and again. So, you know, I think that there is some intrinsic motivation. These women want to win again. And it is up to me to recruit people, to put them in positions to be successful. And it's up to them to create performance on demand. And that is, they need to provide their best when it matters most. And for us, if we can get an early national qualifier, it allows us to kind of train through the bulk of this season and right now and have some higher training volumes, knowing that, you know, the business of trying to qualify for nationals has already been taken care of and the pressure's off a little bit. So we can really focus on what's important mid-May.
Yeah, that's a great point, because once you see that red dot or blue dot or green dot for an A, a B, or a conference mark, each time you hit one of those, you've kind of metric, if you will, and are able to, if I'm hearing you correctly, kind of tailor your workouts and maybe even where your entry might be next, based on that long goal.
Yeah. Yeah. You've described that exactly. So once someone has an A or a B or a conference, depending on what their goals are and our goals are for them for the year, it allows us to perhaps focus on a different event. And so we see that a lot of times with our hammer throwers who might also throw discus. And of course you see that in the endurance events. But it also allows us to perhaps compete a little bit less and train a little bit more once the pressure's off.
Sonia, same question for you, a little bit different angle. Defending champion nationally and in the conference, and certainly you're going to want to win that again. But what's your mentality as you look at, you know, you won it as a freshman. You have an opportunity potentially to win it four times in a row. What do you think about that, or do you just think about, hey, I'm just thinking about Western Washington in 2 weeks?
I definitely do think about that, and it is a dream goal of mine to go four straight. Maybe I should think a little like less future. I should be like, oh, Western Washington, but I am obviously, my hopes and dreams are set on winning nationals again.
Another question for you as a vaulter, and I see this in the jumps, certainly the high jump and pole vault, the mentality of skipping a height or an opening height where you can say, oh, I'm going to skip that one, I'll start at the next one or whatever. Tell me what that's like if you defer to another height. Is it more pressure on you? Do you feel that?
Yeah, honestly, the first time I'd ever done that was at Nationals last year when it was me and the girl who came second. We were kind of going head for head. And like, if I would make a height, she would skip it because there was no point in her attempting that height. And then we were kind of going back and forth, back and forth. And I wasn't really thinking about like, oh, I only have one attempt at this height. I was just in a very competitive mindset. And I was like, okay, like this needs to get done. Like, yeah, I don't skip heights that often, but it is definitely a good competitive strategy when the
Yeah.
opportunity arises. Yeah.
Rob, that was
Right.
a pretty neat experience, and that contributed to her national championship, actually, was she had Sonia was up first and missed at the height. The other girl cleared it. And so now there was no point in attempting it a second time because even on a count back, Sonia has more misses at that height, and so there's no point. So she passes. And I believe the order now changes. The other girl is no, you were up first,
You remember this
and
better
she
than
cleared it. She cleared it, and so now the roles are reversed, right? And so it ended up working in her favor. And I will say it was it. I love these friendly rivalries. Like Sonia and her competitors get along really well. This isn't a. A hated rivalry. They were
right.
hugging each other at the end of it. And, I think the spirit of sport is really important too.
Yeah, I've said that multiple times. People probably get tired of hearing me say it, but I love that aspect of track and field and cross country, that camaraderie, right? You're competing, but you're also cheering on your competitor, because it's you against the clock or you against the height. And yes, it's competitive, but the camaraderie and the sportsmanship is just really, it's fun to be around.
Absolutely. And I think the special thing about pole vault is we're out there for like 3 hours. So we all become really good friends and we get really close and we're all cheering each other on. Yes, it's pretty special out there.
Laurie, one of the things that's a little bit unique to a track and field or a cross country is as a coach, you only have very finite opportunities to interject yourself, right? Once the athlete is there, it's pretty much on them. There are some times where an athlete can come over in a vault or in a high jump or something and speak to you for a moment, but generally, once you get to that meet, these athletes are competing and coach interjection is no longer there. What's that like for you?
Yeah, and that's particularly true of track events. There's only so much advice you can shout out in 100 meters. The field events, there's a little more, but I would like to think that less is more on that. I really try to keep advice simple, and nothing new at a national or a conference championship. We stick with the cues and the technical advice that we've been working on, and in fact reduce it. We're only going to talk about two things on in this javelin competition, for example. And even if I see something else, it's up to me to pull back and not bring something new into the conversation. We want one voice and to really minimize what we're going to focus on.
Sonia, was your family able to come and watch you last year at conference or at nationals, and will they be able to this year?
They didn't last year, but I haven't talked to them about this year. Maybe the following year, but my parents, they're coming down to Western Washington, and they did have a plan to come when we were at Long Beach last weekend. That didn't work out, but they definitely do try to come out whenever they can.
And we are so we're so proud to have UBC in the Cascade Conference. You bring so much to our league in terms of competitiveness and just sportsmanship, and we're really looking forward to seeing all of you at the multis, and then certainly everyone at the conference meeting. Just thank you so much for joining the program.
Hey, thanks to you, Rob. Go Birds.
Sonia, thank you so much, and go T-Birds. There we go.
Thank you.
On behalf of Director Courtney Blummer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships, and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.